context. Quite often, I think we take it out of context. So we pray today that God will lead us a little more in context. So we're going to read from the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to read from chapter 18. We're going to begin at verse 15, reading through verse 20. And if you are willing and able, please rise for the reading of a gospel text. Matthew 18, beginning at verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he listens to you, you have gained your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say unto you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by the Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We ask by the power of your Spirit that you would speak, that you would encourage us, and that you would, Father, allow your truth to be revealed. Sanctify us in the truth, for truly, Father, your word is truth. Not man's word, but your word. We ask it in his name. Amen. Coke pays me to advertise for them now. Talk about context. Oftentimes, we take this text, we like it very powerfully because it talks about bringing correction and discipline to the church, and we kind of like that in a way, you know, and we don't always do it right. Very rarely do we actually follow what is laid out here. But what's the beginning of this text? What's the beginning of this chapter? What does it talk about? And really, it talks about the simplicity of faith. It really does. It talks about the simplicity of faith. And today we're here, a lot of your songs were really driven towards children, right? A lot of children's hymns. And sometimes, you know, we do things in Sunday school that are a little bit silly or maybe fun and things like that. And sometimes I can picture my predecessor, or my friend Earl Carler, going like this, and us adults act so dignified. We wouldn't stoop to that level. Jesus met the children. Jesus loved the children. And sometimes we get so busy with the business of church that we can forget. You children are extremely important. That's the motivation even with this youth rally. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a great youth rally kind of guy. It's just, that's not me. But we need to offer things and have things available for the youth. We look around this world and we think, what in the world's going on? Everybody's going Hulu. Crazy. But we have so many beautiful youth. Look in this congregation right here. Each and every one of you is just precious. You're wonderful. We even have some guests here today. You guys are beautiful. You know, these children are given to us on loan by God the Father. And so sometimes we can make these young ones feel like they're not that important. We got serious church work to take care of. Go in the playroom. Go down there. Or we can be like, they're kind of making noise. And I'm not making fun of people on that. It's serious. I get that. But man alive, I served in churches for many years that we had no noise. And just recently, I had gone to one of them to preach, and there's very little people. That noise is future, and we need to be patient. But that's not what I'm preaching about. The disciples come to Jesus in the beginning of this text, and I want you young ones to hear this, not just the littles, but even all the way up through teen years. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Oh, it's got to be Pastor Jesse, right? He's wearing a suit today and a tie. I'm doing well. I'm hitting it on all out of the park today. Well, maybe it's not Pastor Jesse. Maybe it's our eldest member. Maybe she's so dignified. That's it. Or maybe it's our board members. I mean, they're pretty upstanding individuals, no doubt about it. Maybe that's the greatest in the kingdom of God. Maybe it's someone like Billy Graham, who did definitely a pile of work for the Lord. There's no doubt about it, but we take that very seriously. But they come and they ask this question. And do you know what he says? Jesus says, you children, you kids, you're extremely important. You have great value. It said that Jesus called to him a child. And this is basically, the word that's used here in Greek is about 2 years old, that this child is brought to him. So think about that. And he put him in the midst of them, and he said, I'm going to tell you the truth. Unless you become as a child. And he's, you know, sometimes Jesse has some childish antics. That's not what he's talking about here. He's not talking about me having a fit because I don't get my own way. He says, unless you become like a child, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. And then he goes really into this. He says, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That childlike faith. It's very, very powerful. Look at your children. They look to you, especially in younger days, to give them answers. They'll ask you questions. And when you tell them, they often believe you instantly. They trust you because they know you have what is best for them at hand. Well, God is the same way with us. We have to believe his word and to trust and to know that everything that we ask of him, he has our best intentions at hand. And that goes along with this text. It's not just about bringing discipline to people. This message is about restoration. Children are forgiving. How many of you as parents have blown it? I never have, right? I blew it this morning, trying to put car seats in the truck so I could bring my kids to church. It doesn't take much for this guy. But children are forgiving. When you blow it and you ask them, and I think you should practice this, I truly do. I would encourage every parent, when you are wrong, tell your child on a level playing field, you know what, Dad, Mom, I overreacted today. I am sorry. And you know what you'll hear? It's okay. Children are forgiving. They're loving. And so this is really what he's talking about, is this simplicity of faith. And so when he goes into this whole thing, he says, whoever receives a child really receives me. Such a child, that simplicity of faith. So then we go into our text here where we get a little more serious about the business of the day, right? And so then we're talking here, and really, you know, Jesus gives a warning to anyone that would offend someone with that simplicity of faith or that simple faith. And sometimes we do that. We cause stumbling blocks for people. It's, you know, we'll say things like, it's good to believe, but you must do this. Or, yeah, I believe they're a Christian, but they have a different spirit. How does that work? You've heard me say that one before. And then you turn around and you actually maybe say, yeah, they've come into the church and it's wonderful they're in the fold, but they haven't had this done yet, or they haven't had this done yet, or this. We put our stipulations on the working of faith. And that is not of God. That's of men. So he really brings it in that anyone that would put a scandal on, really a stripping stone, a hindrance in their way, it's not good. So basically now he comes across this and he says, there will be problems. And I think that's the first thing we have to acknowledge when we enter into this text. There will be problems. There's going to be problems in the church. Whenever you take imperfect people, you may not be imperfect, but I am. And I'm your pastor. But when you take imperfect people and put them in one room and try to build a life together, you can have problems. And just as we preached about last week, there were a couple of women that Paul was talking to that had problems. So he says, very plainly, it says if here, but I want to say the word when. When your brother sins against you. And this isn't only men, this is women, this is all of us corporately as the body of Christ. He says, when your brother or sister sins against you, causes an offense to you, you need to go tell everybody else. You know, the other day, pastor walked into the church and he didn't say hi to me, or he didn't do this, or he didn't do this. And I'm picking on myself here. I'm not saying anybody did this. Please don't read into it. Just listen to the basic story of it. Sometimes Jesse, pastor, Fred, Alice, Ernie, Bert, I don't know. They have things on their mind when they walk in the door. Maybe they got to get something done. Maybe they don't know what's going on. Maybe they're under some stress. Maybe they're deep in thought and prayer. Who knows? Sometimes we do walk by people and rush by people. But sometimes when we feel offended, instead of just going up to the person, we have a tendency to go tell other people, I walked into church and he didn't even say hello to me. Can you imagine? I mean, if I'm not wanted here, see, these are the things that Jesse himself can do. I just was guilty of this not long ago. Not here, in another whole different event. I said hello to a person, and they looked at me and walked off. And then I realized, literally in my own heart, that guy is totally deaf in that one ear. I know he didn't hear me. God brought that to my conviction. And really, what it took is my wife and I talked about it, and I talked to another individual about it. I'm telling you, I did it wrong. This is how easy it is. I'm not blaming anybody else. I'm saying I do it wrong. But Scripture is there for us to correct things. And the other individual is the one that said, yeah, I think he did the same thing to me, but he can't hear in that ear. Did you think of that? And I'm like, no. No, I didn't think of that at all. And I am going pretty deaf in one ear, so if I do it to you, make sure you talk in this ear. You know? But anyways, he says, if or when your brother or sister actually does something, sins against you, he doesn't say go tell everybody else. Talk to them. We are the body of Christ. And you know, children, this is difficult for you too, even in school and stuff, when someone does something against you. And sometimes we're trying to find our position in life. But actually, you might find the person, you might be taking it a little bit wrong. I've also had that happen in my life where someone said something to me and I've taken it in the wrong way. Well, you're never going to know unless you actually talk about it. So he says, this is the other part that I think is interesting. When your brother sins against you, go to him. We don't often do that either, do we? We generally go to other people. Or we ignore it and say, well, he didn't want to talk to me. I'm not going to talk to him or her or vice versa or whatever it may be. But actually, Jesus says, no, you have a responsibility to actually go and talk to the individual. That's a tough one, isn't it? I'm not saying it's easy. Please don't think that I'm like, oh, this is a breeze. But he says, actually go and tell him his fault. And there have been times, especially me, I'm a nervous talker, I say things without thinking, that I've said things that have offended people, I don't even have a clue. Maybe I should, but everybody has a different offense level. And I'm saying this, I'm exposing myself, so that maybe we can also understand other people have these same issues. Maybe when someone said something to you, they didn't mean it quite in that fashion. Maybe it came out wrong. Maybe they didn't know how to say something, you know? If you really want to see this, go to a funeral. Because people in line at a funeral, and I'm just as guilty, but when we don't know what to say, sometimes we just say whatever comes out. And so this is really what he's saying. When you have these issues come up between you, go and tell them. Go and speak with them directly. And he says, really, do it between you and the person alone. Stop and talk to them and say, listen, I was hurt by this. And they might be able to say, I had no clue. I am so sorry. I never meant to hurt you. But how often do we do that? He says, tell them alone. And then it says, if he has ears to hear, if he'll listen, he says, you've gained a brother. That's powerful. See, this is about restoration. This isn't about kicking people out. This isn't about, you know, getting people out of the church. This is about keeping unity in the church. You know, that you would have this opportunity to talk about the issue that might be at hand. Some may be minor. It might be just a word that was said. Or some might be very strong. It might be a theological base. Or it might be, you know, a conviction of some sort. There's many different ways that this can come out in this way. He says, but if this individual hears you, you've gained a brother. What does hear you mean? That he actually takes the words in. And I would even add this, that we have to be willing to acknowledge, maybe we're not right either. Have you ever had that situation? I have. I have the opportunity a lot. I make a lot of errors. But there have been times, literally, where I've taken offense to what someone has said to me. Then I've gone and I've talked to them about it. Say, hey, listen, when I was over, you said this. And then I realize, when we have a conversation, they didn't mean it that way. And I took it wrong, too. We live in a world that is so easily offended. We're looking for offenses on every street corner. But if we would stop playing on these goofy things, stop texting apologies to people or cutting them off or putting our air out on Facebook and actually sat down across the coffee table from each other and talked, we might find out that we're not so far apart. This is what Jesus is trying to get us to understand and know. That we are brothers and sisters in Christ and that we should be able to communicate through these things. And if we can sit down and talk and resolve the issue, we will actually be stronger than ever. Stronger than ever. He's about building the church, not tearing it apart. I didn't pick this text. I can already see some eyes out there like, boy, somebody must have. No. This is not the text I picked. The calendar picked this text. But it's good for us to know that we are the body of Christ. We come together to worship, to fellowship, and also to talk with one another and encourage each other. And sometimes, you know, we're not so hot at it. And I think as the world keeps spinning and as technology supposedly brings us closer, we actually divide farther, which is really interesting. So he says, if you can do this, you'll actually gain a brother. And I think this means to make it stronger, make the relationship even better. It's going to really improve your relationship. But then what happens? Sometimes we're stubborn. He says, and if he doesn't listen, or he or she does not listen, then you go tell everybody in the world. I went to talk to them, and they wouldn't listen to me. That's not what this says. Really, what it says here is that we need to take along a couple others, one or two witnesses. What this is trying to do is really what we would call in our day and age, damage control. That we're not out to destroy people, that we're not out to ruin a reputation. We don't see that sometimes. In the Old Testament understanding with the children of Israel, when you spoke about somebody behind their back and discredited them, it was considered murder. That's how serious this is. We call it gossip. We think sometimes there's harmless gossip and good gossip. And I have a brother that stands close to me often, and he reminds me of this word gossip. And it's difficult. It's a hard thing to navigate. It truly is. But what I would say is, what is the outcome? What are we seeking to do? Are we seeking for restoration? Or are we just talking about people? He says, sometimes they don't hear you. But once again, he's not about cutting them out. He's saying, bring someone along. He says, so that every charge may be established in the evidence of two or three. And remember, you know, this is really what he's talking about. You have yourself who's been offended. Two would be bringing another. Three would be bringing another. Two or three. You got to hold on to that, because at the end of this text, we take this into all kinds of other places out of context. But actually, he's talking about restoration. He's not talking about church services or prayers. We can pray to God alone all day long. God hears. But anyways, so he turns around and he says, you know, bring two or three witnesses. And if they don't listen to them, in other words, when this is talked about, if he's hard-hearted, if he won't listen, he says, then what? Bring it to the church. See, we can't have cancers in churches. That's really what this is bringing. This is not about cutting people out. That's often how we look at this text. But it's for restoration. Because remember, this is, if I could say it this way, Christian to Christian. This is not talking about people in the world. This is talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. And there will be offenses. But God seeks for healing. He seeks for restoration. We talked a lot about divisions in our church this morning, and I'm talking about all of Christendom in the Bible study. And oftentimes they're caused over offenses that really don't have much to do with the Word of God. Interesting. So he says very plainly, he says, go and tell it to the church. And if he even refuses then to listen to the church, then get rid of him. That's not what it says. I see people shaking their head. I love it. You're looking at your scripture. It doesn't say that at all. It says, consider them, in our translation here, consider them a Gentile or tax collector. What this really means is an unbeliever. That's all it means. So let me go the other side. Are we all done with unbelievers? Do we just like circle the wagons here and stay in here and make sure nobody else comes in? No. Our goal and our mission is still to reach to unbelievers. That's all he's saying here. He's like, okay, they don't have the true heart. They don't understand. They're hurting. They're broken. Whatever the word may be that you would use. But he's not saying, well, we're all done with them. We'll never believe them again. We'll never ever get involved again to go into hell in a handbasket. We're not saying that. They don't have the understanding. That's all. But we're not done with a single unbeliever out there. The Church of Christ is still in the business of seeking to bring salvation to this world, to each and every one. And what's most important is if this person can't see an error in their life or an error that they've caused, then we need to continually pray for them, minister to them, talk to them, strengthen them. But somehow we have to do this. They don't know the truth. And that's what he's talking about here. He's not talking about cutting people off and never dealing with them again. He says, I'm telling you, just consider them in that way. They're damaged goods, if we could say it that way. He says, and I'm going to tell you the truth. There is this understanding. He says, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, what he's saying here is you're just affirming the truth of heaven. It's not you physically having this great wielding axe to be able to get rid of people and bring people in. You're affirming what has taken place here. If an individual in this world refuses to repent and believe, then they're out. That sounds harsh. I know we don't like it. But it doesn't have to do with me. I am not the one saying they're in or out. Really, actually, Jesus speaks this in another part of the scripture that talks very powerfully. He says, I did not come into this world to judge. Rather, he came to save. He says, but there is one that will judge in the end. The word that I speak, that will judge. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when we proclaim God's word in its truth and in its might, and one individual hears this word and believes and repents, they are saved. And one way refuses to believe in this word, they are bound. It has nothing to do with me. The simplest way to say this, we'd say to our children, I wish I could give you faith. I wish I could just pour it in you, but I can't. Well, it's the same for the world. We preach it. We teach it. We stand up for it. We do all of that. But we cannot, as we say, make the horse drink. That is the work of God. But there is power we do have. Scripture says very plainly, pray without ceasing. How many of you pray? There's people that are close in your life. There's people that are very close in your life that are dealing with demons or struggles or whatever that we don't even understand. Maybe it's our own children. Maybe it's the air of unbelief in their life. I don't know, and I'm not picking on people, but I'm saying, how many of you encounter these in your life and you pray for them all the time? I still remember when an individual, your father-in-law, saw me out in New Ipswich, New Hampshire, and I went into New Ipswich Market, and I was up here for many, many years, and I was going to seminary, I was doing all this stuff. It was years after he had known me, and I'm talking about Jim Somro since I said it. Good friend of mine. I was going into New Ipswich Market, and he was coming out, and Jim looked at me, and he had tears in his eyes. He grabbed me by the shoulders, and I had known him in my wilder days. He said, "Jesse, you are everything that Tyke and I have prayed for." There's an individual that prayed. Those prayers make a world of difference. We're not done with these people. We reach to God the Father to continue to reach their lives and to change them by the power of his word, by the power of his spirit, because it's not something any man can do. It's not something we can guilt people into. It is the reality of God's love for each and every one of us that we operate in. Why do you think scripture says to us very plainly, forgive? Even before they ask, forgive. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need that forgiving heart. And in that forgiving heart, we pray earnestly for those that have hurt us. How many people have walked away from church altogether? And I acknowledge it, and I know it's real. The pain is real. Because the church, I would even say it this way, because religious people have hurt them. Nothing pains me more. Because honestly, the love of God is so powerful and they need it so badly. But we have allowed tainted individuals to separate us from God. May that never take place. And I am sorry. I am deeply sorry if someone has hurt you. Someone has said an off comment. Maybe we need to talk to them. Maybe we need to sit down and talk with them. Maybe we just have to go from the area of, I need God, but this person doesn't dictate who God is, and I forgive them. May not trust them, I get that. But forgiveness is for us, that we can let go and have that relationship and move forward. People hurt us. Family members hurt us. I've hurt my family members, and my family members have hurt me. Without forgiveness, we'd all be lost. He's not talking about just cutting people off. He's saying, step back from that. Understand they're broken. They're damaged. Pray for them. Continually pray for them. He says, because really, all he's acknowledging here is what is done upon earth is done in heaven. If they don't believe, then they're bound. And if they believe, they are free. And if a person doesn't hear an offense, then maybe they're bound. How many times have you encountered a person that's against the church? And how many times have you actually been able to, and I've been able to sit down and talk with them. And they're against the church because they've been hurt by men. By people, that'd be a better word. Just don't throw it on the men only. They've been hurt by people in the church. He says, and again I say to you, if two or three agree on earth about anything, he says, and they ask for it, God the Father will do it. In other words, this two or three, we miss it. One is me being offended. Two is bringing a witness. Three is bringing a third witness. But really, in this healing, it's two or three. If we can come to a compromise, if we can come to a healing, then God will bless that. God will bless that. But if we don't talk about it, we walk away, we take off and we go to another congregation, which is, you have a freedom. But there's going to be problems there too. The one thing I have realized as a pastor for almost 18 years now, and that's very small compared to guys like Arville, every church I go to is screwed up. Every one of them. Do you know how I know? Because I'm there. We're broken people. Casting Crowns has a song and it's beautiful. Can we just be broken together? Can we be? Can you and you and you and you and you and you be broken together? Talk about things, encourage people, and strengthen people. We got to get going here because Charlene's going to get mad at me over my sermon's too long again. That's okay. That's okay. We'll leave it up to you guys to get a good one for the radio. But anyways, he says, whatever you agree on earth, he says, that's the way it is in heaven. You're just confirming that. Whatever you loose on earth, you're confirming that's the way it is in heaven. By grace you shall be saved through faith. And he says, so, if you guys agree and ask anything, the Father in heaven will take care of this. He'll bring this healing. He'll bring this restoration. And then he says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, he says, really what I'm saying to you is, I'm in the middle of this. If you operate according to how Scripture lays it out to take care of controversies and issues in the church, God will be there. We take this sometimes only as, well, it's nice to see only two people in church today. And I've said the same thing, where two or three are gathered. God will meet you alone. It's not about prayer services. It's not about church. In context, this is talking about restoration. If we seek for restoration, God will be in the midst of it. A three-chord string is hard to break. Really, what he's talking about here is God desires for each and every one of us to have restoration in our life so we can have peace. We need to learn this as adults so we can continue to teach this to children. But if we actually watch children, I'm talking about toddlers. I would say 5 years old and down. Those little buggers are scrapping. 2 seconds, they're scrapping. They're duking it out of fighting over that one toy. Parents try to get involved. A minute later, they're playing house. They're doing just fine. The church isn't much different. If we can learn to forgive. We can go into a meeting and we can have heated meetings, but we can walk out in the narthex and understand we are brothers and sisters in Christ with differing opinions. Let's not get worked up. There is much bigger things to worry about, and that is the unbelievers in the world need to hear the gospel of Christ. And the best way they're going to see the gospel is by how we love one another. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.